Her eyes met with compassionate divine. He stooped and writing, spoke so low, who is without sin, the first stone throw. They all had gone, convicted by his tone. He, the sinful woman, were alone. Doth no man then accuse thee? Nay, my Lord, they have all fled. Then go and sin no more, the Savior said. Alone with Jesus, all alone, I too have set, head bowed, conscious of sin. No joy of peace of mind within, the past a heavy, searing blight. They seem to shut out hope and light. Then I, that loving, tender look did meet, that brought me to the blood-bought mercy seat. Lord, may I never cast a stone at someone weary, sinful, and alone. But with my hand, O Lord, held fast to thine, show by my life thy love sublime. How for our sins thou didst atone, that we may sit with thee alone. I find when I'm with the Lord more by myself, I have more compassion for other people because I start acting like he acted. I can't say I do it all the time, but I find myself doing it more the more I'm alone with my Lord. We ought to try to get alone with God. Amen. Last one, a back page. Anybody get them filled out? Okay. Back page in, okay. The next one in what we just read is we need to cast away. We need to cast away. We live in a day and age. The first one. Let's go to, let's just go to Psalm. We're closer to Psalm. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 22. Says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, it's quoted in the book of 1 Peter to a certain degree, chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him. That word care and burden, one in Hebrew, one translated English from Hebrew, and one translated from Koine Greek, is care, is basically the same word. A burden or a care isn't a distraction. First one here. Distractions. It's something that is causing us some problems. I have no idea what happened. I was working down to get that tractor carport finished for the church as well as for us. And we got all the tractors in there. Man, alive, what a blessing. Get them all in one place. Only thing I have a few little touch-ups to do, painting and touch-ups. But I'm going to run a power out there, get lights in there. So you can go in there and flip a light on and get. You can work on them at night or use them at night. But anyways, I'm down there and all of a sudden I'm sitting there reading my Bible and I stretch my left foot and right on the side of my left foot hurt like crazy. I thought, what did I do? You know, did I drop something on it? Did I step wrong? I couldn't figure out what I did. And even today, it is a distraction. And I'm sitting there trying to read my Bible and stretch this foot and it's hurting. It's a distraction. Sometimes people are distractions. Sometimes we have something on us that's a distraction. Our phones, our computers. You know, I never thought when they put that thing on the wall that you had to crank like that and you pick up the receiver like that, it ended up controlling people's minds and lives. We can't get off the thoughts of things. Come on, amen. Now, I just put down here some things, but let me ask you, come on, what are some of the distractions in your life? Just give me one that you need to put away. TV, okay. Work, good. It's hard to clock out, isn't it? I worked on that many years ago. Praising a lot, I was about 21, been married a few years. Finally figured out how to come home and clock out. I'd come home, my wife would be going, of course, she had three boys, first, boom, 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 three boys. My wife grew up with three girls. She did not know boys are, they roughhouse all day long. And when they say they're going to beat you up, that's exactly what they do. And so they're fighting, but 15 minutes later, they're best friends. That's just boys. And so I come home and she's going to tell me all that happened with the boys. And I'm going, I got this. And then I got work. So I finally said, okay, hold on. Give me a half an hour. I'd go upstairs, shower or bathe or whatever, get dressed and come back down. And after a half an hour, I said, okay, give me what's happening. Because I needed to clock out. Got to learn how to clock out work. Come on, amen. Anybody else got work? We got TV? Technology? It's all around us. Come on, what else? What other things going on? Family? Good, because you got. How many of you have family problems? If you have a family, you have family problems. Okay, family? Responsibilities, okay. Oh, you have more distractions than anybody else, Robert, huh? Go ahead. Okay, family, friends. Sleep? Lack of or too much? All of the above? Weeds? She can't sleep. She's pulling weeds in the night. No, they don't go away, do they? They don't go away. Well, okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Intrusive thoughts. These are tough. Come on, amen. That's why we need to start our prayers pretty good. Lord, help me. When I started, I said, Lord, let it be me and you, because I got all this stuff in my mind. I got to get it out of there. And I've had a bad year and a half in these last year and a half. And I've had a lot of bombardment on my joy, try to steal my joy. And if you notice, I'm not unhappy, because I spend that hour. I praise the Lord I've had that hour that I spend with my Lord. I just put worries, fears, and priorities. We all have, and I don't like, the word anxious is a little bit different than worry, but we worry way too much. One of the reasons why I think we worry is we have too much information. Anybody ever remember that statement, ignorance is bliss? Isn't it nice to know not everything that goes on in the world? You know, before internet, I had no idea where Bangladesh was. It's amazing how many people want to come up and tell me, because I joke about it, and tell me something about Bangladesh. I could care less. You know, someone wants to know, did you hear about Charlie Kirk's sister's husband's dog, what happened to it the other day? No, and I don't care. I have no idea. That's just an example. But I've had people come in. Oh, I can't wait. It almost reminds me of the soap operas years ago where women were worried about the person on the soap opera. You know that's fiction, don't you? Yeah. But you know what? Listen, 99% of the info that keeps flooding our minds from technology is vanity. We can live a great life without it. In fact, 5, 10, 15 years ago, we did. I mean, let's be honest. Before the first Trump and Hillary Clinton campaign, none of us knew very much about politics. And now we know way too much. And it crowds our minds so we can't even sit down and eat a dinner without my grandson going, we need to pray for the cabinet. They have a vote this week on whether or not they're buying Charmin or White Cloud toilet paper. What? First of all, how come my grandson knows that? And secondly, who cares? No, they didn't. I wouldn't doubt it, though. Oh, my lands, folks. It's just crazy. So, distractions, technology, fears. What fears do we have? Money fears, okay? Whether or not I have enough, whether it's going to come in. Failure, fears of failure. Family problems, fears of family problems. Fear of the future, what you don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a hint. Here's what's going to happen. The world's going to get worse and worse and worse. Deceivers are going to get worse and worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. The love of many Christians is going to wax cold. The Lord's going to come back again, yank us out of here, and we're going to go to heaven. Going to come back on a white horse 7 years later and help. He's going to wipe out the evil of the world and set up his kingdom of righteousness for 1,000 years. After that, we're going to have eternity. Okay, there we go. There's the future. If we keep our eyes on that future, the little other things kind of fade away. But it's tough, though, because we don't know. Okay? We don't know what's going to happen. As human beings, we don't. We got to lay it on the Lord, don't we? That's why he says, cast your care on me. Okay? Priorities. Good example of, I mean, a great, I say a great as in a big problem. Like I says, how many of you could give an hour to God a week? And almost every of you raise your hand. I said on the same day, the same time, and nobody raised their hand. Why is that? We prioritize other things. Did you raise your hand, Lori? So Lori did. So I missed you, Lori. You got to raise it up high. Get some help over there. So, I'm not being mean. I am seriously not being mean. But let's be honest. We put a lot before our relationship with Jesus. We put a lot of things come first with our Bible reading. Come on, amen. A lot, you know, let's be honest. A lot of times, a lot of things come between us coming to church or not. Family, health, business. I still remember years ago, this is stupid, but it was funny. My wife and I kind of got interested in a show called MASH. It was on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We loved watching it. It was only an hour, and we loved it. It was kind of fun to watch, and we got done. I can't remember. That was back in our carnal days. And we all of a sudden, they changed stations when they were running it. Instead of Tuesday night, they started running it on Wednesday night. And I had to have an emotional fit that, why do I have to choose between MASH and church? And I thought, that is really stupid. The first day, I'm all upset. I wanted to write a letter to the station and say, what is the matter with you? Don't you know, as Christians, now they have school events on Sunday. Wednesday night. It's one of the reasons why one of my sons and I got in a little of a conflict, because they changed basketball practice from Tuesday to Wednesday night. And if he didn't play on practice on Wednesday night, he couldn't play the game on Thursday as a starter. So he never started a basketball game every time he went to play basketball. So I told him two things. Remember, I didn't change the schedule, they did. So they're in the wrong. Don't blame me. They're in the wrong. Number two, you have to make a choice one of these days, God or sports. Yep. Well, he chose God, and he's my assistant pastor today. Amen. He chose it years ago. But at that time, he didn't like it because I put the priority for him. We've got to set it. Solitude, we have to set that. Solitude bears the same relation to the mind that sleep does to the body. It offers us the necessary opportunities for repose and recovery. Meditate upon the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says meditate. Now, I don't know if you know this. What they were using is basically the same Hebrew word or phrasing as a cow chewing. Don't just read it once. Chew on that sucker. We used to say that all the time. We'd say a statement, say, chew on that for a while. Meditate. We need to meditate. We need to find time to spend with the Lord and the Word of God. Next, number two, if you would please, go to Psalm 66. We're in Psalm 55. Go Psalm 66. So cast away. First of all, distractions. Number two, if you would please, Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the next one is disobedience. How many of you this week had a child in your home that did something wrong? Slip your hand up. Almost every person that has a child. Okay. When you met that child, after you found out they did something wrong, do you think you had sweet fellowship? Did you? No, not at first. Did you? After the correction. But you didn't have sweet fellowship at first. Now let's say, now this happened today. It's happened in my home, that you rebuke them and they don't repent. Would you say there's still a tension between you and that child? Come on, amen. Husbands, have you ever said something? No, I'll rephrase that. Husbands, since we have said things that a wife was upset about, come on, amen. There seems to be tension. Amen. Sometimes for years. No, it seems to be tension. When you get it right, you have fellowship. Are you following me? Someone has to say, I'm sorry. Someone has to repent. As soon as that repentance, you get that fellowship restored. What does the word regard mean? Anybody know what that means in this verse? Can you lift up a hand? What does the word regard mean? Consider. Is that what you said? Okay. Consideration. Oh, okay, that's good. Okay, here's what I think. Those are exact, goes along with what I'm saying. The fire alarm goes off. What do you grab first? Your Bible. I want to grab my wife first. Say, why'd you start the fire? No, I just... No, I'd look for my wife and my kids, but then I would probably go for my reading Bible because I don't want to get another one. Got that one marked up good. But all right, what is it? Cell phone? Probably. Wallet? Would look. What are you place as valuable in your life? It is amazing to me when I'm dealing with people that have sinned. Just recently I was dealt with someone with sin that was more protective of the reason for the sinning than the repenting of the sinning. I want you to understand why I'm feeling this way, why I have this problem, why I'm disobeying God. I don't care. What I care is I want your relationship to be like this to Jesus. And when you have sin, it's like that. He's turned his back on you. Why? You regard sin in your life. Sin's more important to you than Jesus. Oh, me? There isn't a one of us here that this next coming week will not do something wrong or fail to do something right. Sins of omission or commission. When we come to the Lord, make sure we're right with Him. Because if we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unlike a human being doesn't forgive that fast. But our God does. Come on, amen. Sins of commission, 1 John 3, verses 4. That's the first one here. Sins of commission, we commit sin. Commission. We have committed something. We've done something wrong. We sinned. You say, what's wrong? Oh, my lands. We're going to talk a little bit about that in my morning message. Oh my! What is truth? What is right and wrong? Oh, for crying out loud, we have gone so far off bubble and off of the page that we're trying to find right and wrong on how you say a word. Not only how you pronounce it, but how your volume or your tone of voice or your body language makes it right or wrong. No, right or wrong is right or wrong. Amen. And how I base it is I base it on the Word of God. Amen. I don't try to base it on, hey, come on. Am I right or wrong? Jim Thorpe had every one of his 5 gold medals stripped from him because he got $2,000 in a semi-pro baseball team. Am I right? Yep. Because he got paid when he was in college. Look at him today. Caitlin Clark made $20 million playing basketball in Indiana. Or Iowa, was it Iowa? Iowa, Indiana. One of them two teams. Is it Indiana Fever? Yeah. Can you believe that? No, when she was in college. I'm talking about in college. They have the portal now in college. These quarterbacks and these running backs and these tackles and these volleyball players for girls and these lacrosse kids, they're getting money. Going to Paris, he's going to get paid. Big time, but his is pro, isn't it? Yeah, Rome, he's pro, isn't it? No, it's a school. Guarantee he's going to get paid there. I don't remember what it's called, but it's a D-E-D-I-E-D, you know, name, it's N-I-L, name, image, and likeness. So what they thought was, the college is making money, us players ought to get something too. Well, what do you say? In other words, the rules have changed. Come on, amen? You remember when alcohol was illegal in the United States? I don't think alcohol ought to be illegal. I think we ought to be stupid if we want to. That's called America. I really believe if you want to smoke marijuana, it has no problem with me. You're just stupid. I don't like to smell it either. Don't do it around me. Amen? Same thing with cigarette. I was talking about someone the other day, cigarette smoke. If someone gets in my car and it smells like cigarettes, I'm cleaning my car out the next day. Why? I don't smoke, so it bothers me. Okay? And marijuana is even worse. I'm going, whoa, what is that? You know? But anyway, but what I'm trying to say is world changes, and you could go to a different country and it changes. Come on, amen? But not the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God set up a set of rules that's for mankind that can last in any culture, work in any culture and any time. So commit. Number two, sins of omission. If I know to do good and I doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know to do it and we don't do it, it's sin. In other words, God gave us a command. Years ago, we had all of our children at home, and I had a rule that the boys wear a dress shirt, dress pants, and dress shoes. Go to school. You're going to be a witness. I tell them, you have a target already on you. They all know you're a pastor's son. Might as well look like one. And one day, my son Jason, who also became a pastor, he walked out of the house in a t-shirt, and I just went. I saw him walk out of the house. I went just like this. He comes back the next day, and he starts to walk out. I said, put a dress shirt. Well, I went yesterday without one. I said, just because I have mercy one day doesn't mean I'm going to have mercy 2 days. I said, don't disobey me. And he goes, I know it's right. It is right to do. Amen. To look like we're supposed to be. But it's right to do things. Sins of the heart in the book of Psalm chapter 19. And that's a great transgression. The great transgression is this. Oh, God will forgive me, so I'll do it, and then I'll ask him to forgive me. Yeah. We'll just go to confession. Yeah. Do you know all gangsters are Catholic? Yeah. Why? My wife and I was watching a show, and this gangster's in the church praying, goes to the priest, goes to confession, prays and leaves, goes out and kills people. Deals drugs and alcohol and prostitution and goes back and confesses it again so I can get it cleansed out. But, oh, that's a great transgression. God says, how dare you? It's like a kid keeps sneaking out of the house and then telling you they love you. I mean, you get so upset with someone like that. Let's don't do those things. Amen? If we want to get with God, we better get with him by casting some things away. First of all, distraction. Second one, disobedience. Third one, Mark 11. And if I did not change the verse, I apologize. It is actually verse 23. Mark 11. Is it changed on yours? Okay, change it. I'm pretty sure it's verse 23. Let's double dog. Yeah, it is 33. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall, here's the next one, not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. One of the reasons why we don't have things happen, we don't draw close to God, is we have doubt. He that can, we got to believe that God can. We got to believe, number two, that he will. And we need to believe that he has forgiven us. Because a lot of times, let's be honest, most of us don't think God will do something for me. God will not draw closer to us because we don't feel worthy. We don't feel like we're worthy enough for God to be with us. David was called what? The apple of God's eye. The sweet psalmist of Israel. David committed murder and adultery. I don't think we have anybody in here that did that. Both. Maybe we do. But praise God, we have a great God. We have a guy in the Bible called Saul who murdered and wrote letters to get murdered and tortured Christians, women and children also. But God forgave him, and he became probably one of the greatest preachers known to man. Why is that? Because we have a forgiving God. Don't think that your sin keeps you from coming to God. Amen? Okay, last one is desires. We talked about that. We need to cast away our desires in Psalm 37, 4 and 5 and take on His desires. In fact, 1 John's talking about, let's go there real quick. We'll read this verse and we'll close these two verses. I love these two verses. 1 John chapter 5. Right after he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in God, believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we know, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." In other words, has anybody ever had a prayer answered? You know, how come that prayer got answered? No. Well, that's good. That is part of it. You did ask for the prayer. That's right. But why? No. Well, that is good. That's why God asked. Prayer was answered to you. Okay? It's according to His will. So you know what this helps me with? You mean to tell me I knew God's will? It was only for a second or two. That's kind of cool. That means I was close to God at one time in my life. Am I right? I overheard God. He said, pray. Isn't that cool? I think that's just exciting to me. That excited to me when I read that. That it, when I ask a prayer and it gets answered, that means I knew the will of God in my life for that time. That's exciting to me. I don't know, maybe not to you. In other words, we should be praying, not my will, but thine. Our purpose, our plan, and our path ought to be in God's hands. Amen? Amen. Well, yeah, He doesn't have to. Other than He said, if you ask in my name, I will answer. So He's kind of dutiful. But he didn't have to put that on there, did He? No, He is very merciful. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Help us. Help us to draw closer to You. Help us to desire to take that time. I know that requires a rescheduling of our life sometimes. Sometimes we need to stop because there's days when we have an hour or two that we can, or at least an hour that we can stop and say, okay, Lord, it's just me and You. I'm going to get apart and just talk. Fellowship. Getting Your word, getting prayer. I pray that we'll do more of it. May we desire to learn more about our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.